Well, do you get stressed? Do you get anxious? Do you worry about things? I suspect that everybody who's engaging with this would say yes to that set of questions, maybe to different degrees, but all of us experience this. And I think we all experience this, especially in this time of pandemic and lockdown. And as I've shared before in blogs and through these messages, you know that I am absolutely not immune to this and that it's something that I struggle with. We're looking today at Hannah, a great woman of God, and we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1. I've entitled this message True Prayer, and indeed, this passage shows us wonderful prayer, prayer as it really is, deep and heartfelt. But I could also have titled this message The Antidote to Worry, The Antidote to Anxiety. Not an easy antidote, to be sure, but something that is wrung out of deep experience, a way forward that helps us in these times of stress and anxiety. So that's where we're going today, and I want to begin just by highlighting Hannah's situation. We see that she is in deep distress. Verse 7 really sums up the situation, but just looking through our passage, we see all sorts of words and phrases that speak of Hannah's distress. We read that she wept. We read that she would not eat, that she was downhearted, that she experienced deep anguish, bitter tears, and misery. And so there's no doubt that she is anxious and stressed. Plus, she is in a really tough situation. The specific thing for her is childlessness, which is a terrible thing. And in the culture of the day, there were some added burdens for women to carry. For Hannah, there is Peninnah's taunting, but also there is the wider context that childlessness was seen as a sign of God's disfavor. I want to say right at the beginning that my heart goes out to childless couples. My heart goes out to women who, for whatever reason, have wanted to have a child and it's not happened. Maybe you are engaging with this and this fits you. God is with you. God is for you and God wants to be gracious to you. But also in this time of pandemic, as we think about Hannah's situation, we can think about our perhaps very different situations and the stress and the worry and the anxiety that we feel. This has been heightened for us in these times, hasn't it? I don't think anyone has been left unaffected. And we've been affected in different ways. Want to share something personally. Some of you who have listened to the podcast will already have heard this. But a few weeks ago, I lost my wedding ring. It fell off probably when I was out running, and we've not been able to track it down. And although if you're out in Adel, please do have a look. I think it's probably likely that the ring is now lost. And it just brought to a head for me just that sense of struggle and stress through the pandemic. God has helped me in so many ways, given me resilience, given me grace, and I know that many of you can identify with that as well. But I must confess that in those moments of searching for the ring, my frustrations and sadness about pandemic and about lockdown came to a head. Obviously, I'm so wonderfully happy to be married, and that is just one of the many graces from God that are in my life. But it's not been as we would have wanted. We weren't able to have the wedding ceremony that we wanted. Our children weren't there, you weren't there, and that was really sad for us. We weren't able to have a proper honeymoon. We'd booked a couple of weeks, end of January, beginning of Feb, as a second honeymoon. We're going to take that time, but we're certainly not going to be jetting off to any exotic locations. We're not going to be getting out of North Leeds. And although we love being here and it's so special to be in this city, I have to say, and I'd hope you don't mind me saying this, it's not my first choice in terms of a honeymoon destination. And so there are all these frustrations and even the ring falling off. We always knew that it was too large. We were going to get it resized after the wedding, but we weren't able to get over to York because of pandemic and lockdown. And so there's all these things that cause frustration and struggle and difficulty. And as much as I tried to say to myself, well, lots of people have it worse than you, and that's absolutely true. As much as I tried to say, focus on God and the gospel and the many graces that are in your life, focus on the wonderful church that you're privileged under God to lead. As much as I said all of those things, I still felt sad, and it was a tough moment. And I'm sharing this because maybe you identify with this in some way. Maybe there are just frustrations that are built up for you. It may be that you are in a far, far tougher situation, far, far tougher set of circumstances than the ones that I have described personally. To one degree or another, we identify with Hannah in her distress, in her anxiety, in her worry, in her sense, yes, perhaps, of depression. But what we do get here is, I believe, a way forward. Not an easy way forward, but nevertheless, a way forward. So let's notice a few things from these wonderful verses. First of all, before we think about Hannah's prayer, it's good to note that she, a wonderful woman of God, felt like this, felt downhearted. We have a phrase that we say today, don't we? It's okay not to be okay. And this is, in a sense, the Bible's version of that. The Bible was there long before, because Hannah, great woman of God that she is not okay. And God, in the way that he deals with her, says it's okay not to be okay. She's in deep distress. She's weeping bitter tears. She is struggling to eat. And God comes to her in grace and mercy. If this is how you're feeling today, it's okay not to be okay. Our God says so. The Bible says so. The Bible affirms that people in distress, people in difficulty, people with depression, God is for such people. A great woman of God, Hannah, but someone in great distress. It's okay not to be okay. And then we see that she brings God into her situation. She comes to him in prayer and she lifts her request to him. We further see that she leaves that request with God. Verse 18, which we'll come back to in a moment, is really important. She gives something to God and she doesn't take it back. She leaves it with him. As the passage unfolds, we see a number of other things too. Just wrestling with my notes here. She focuses on glorifying God. That's the final thing. So she offers Samuel, her firstborn son, to God. She does that before she knows that she's going to have a child to God in prayer, and she makes good her vow. So she not only prays, she not only leaves it with God, but she focuses on God. And in the terms that we would use as New Testament people, she focuses on God and the gospel, the good news. She puts God first. And what I want to do, just as the message comes to a close, is really apply this to our hearts and make it real and do a sort of extended takeaway, which I hope will be helpful for us when we're in times of distress. I have found this helpful, actually putting this into practice in my own life, and I hope that you will find it helpful too. And the takeaway is ABC. It's not simple, it's not simplistic, but it is something that helps us to remember. Ask God to work, believe that God has got it, and cherish God and the gospel. So first of all, ask God to work. In your own distress, in your own anxiety, in your own struggles, bring them to God in prayer. I'm going to make a confession now. As a pastor, I hope you're not too upset with this, but there are times when I recognize that I don't do that in the way that I'm invited to. I chunter away to myself about a particular situation, but I don't turn it to God in prayer. I think, reflecting on myself, one of the issues is that I'm a fairly polite middle-class Englishman of a certain vintage, and we sort of think, or we can easily think, we can't come to God in real distress. We can't express to God how we really feel. We need to pray in polite phrases, finely phrased prayers that are calm and quiet and contemplative. And of course, there's nothing wrong in praying in that way. Quiet and calm and contemplative can be good. But that's not how we see Hannah praying here. She is deeply in distress. She is praying in such a way that Eli the priest thinks that she is drunk. And to people like me, to middle-class Englishmen, God says through his word, don't be afraid to come to me and express your heart. Don't be afraid to be absolutely authentic and real in prayer. Great saints of the past have talked about this. John Bunyan, C.H. Spurgeon. Spurgeon said this, that prayer from the heart is the heart of prayer. Okay? Prayer from the heart is the heart of prayer. We can express our feelings to God, and we can come to him just as we are, and he receives our prayer. So ask God what you need. That's the A. Bring your request for him. Ask God to come and work in the situation. The B is believe God has got it. And I mentioned verse 18, we see that Hannah, having poured out her heart to God, leaves it with God, and her face is no longer downcast. I read that in the sense that, you know, she's still churned up inside, but her face is different. She knows that she's brought it to God, and she's going to leave it there. She's determining to leave it with God. I found this both really helpful and a personal struggle. Go to the New Testament verse, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Take every thought captive. And I'm trying so hard to do this. Our minds matter. And sometimes we bring something to God, we lift it to him, but then we take that back from him. And we worry about it and we worry about it. The challenge, it's not easy, but the challenge in the power of the Spirit is to follow Hannah's example and to believe that God has got it, to leave things with him. And then finally, the C is to cherish God and the gospel. in the way that Hannah does through her son, through offering her son to God. I've got an illustration here just as we come to the close of this, and it's a bowl, and it's got this brown paper in it, and the brown paper represents our worries. Why is it important to cherish God and the gospel? Well, sometimes this is what can happen when we offer our anxieties to God. So we may have an anxiety over illness, over COVID, and we offer that to God, and so we take that out of the bowl. We may have anxieties over how things are on our front line, our jobs, how we're going to engage for God there, particularly difficult situations that we have to face, and we offer that to God, so we take it out of the bowl. Concerns about family and friends, maybe concerns about God and the gospel, and why is God not working in this situation, and we offered it to him. And I've got one worry left in the bowl, and I'm not going to name it. If there's something that you are deeply concerned about, then insert your own worry here, and we offer that to God. And all of that is good. Ask God to work and believe that he's got it. But when the bowl is empty, it's very easy for the worries to come, and they come back in, because there's a bit of a vacuum, because there's emptiness, then the worries can crowd back in. However, if we cherish God and the gospel, and we focus on the wonderful good things that he's given us, then they can fill up the bowl so that there's no room for the worries to come back. I've got some appropriately brightly coloured pieces of paper here. This is the attention to detail that you're getting today. And we can imagine these as good and gospel things. So we might praise God for his forgiveness, his 70 times 7 forgiveness for us in Jesus. If we believe in him, that is something that we have. And so that goes into the bowl. We're cherishing God and the gospel. We may think about the good and gracious Holy Spirit in our lives, sent into our hearts by Jesus and the Father, giving us power to change, giving us power to live differently. And we praise God for that. We praise God for other dimensions of the salvation that we have. All the wonderful Bible words which sound a bit complex: redemption, renewal, salvation, the good and great things that God has given to us. We reflect on those things. We drill down deeply into them, and we add that to the bowl. We think about the plan and purpose that God has for us, that he's called us for such a time as this, and that goes into the bowl. And then again, I'm going to leave this one blank, as it were. Something that you're so grateful to God for. It might be a friendship, it might be your church, it might be your small group. We count our blessings and we put that into the bowl. And your worries can still come back in, but it's much harder. There's not room for them really to come in, because we're focusing on good and gospel things. And so A, B, C. Not simplistic, not simple in practice, but nevertheless something that we can use to help us through. Ask God to work, give our worries and anxieties to him. Believe with Hannah that God has got it. And again with Hannah, cherish God and the gospel so that there's less room for these worries to come in. I've been seeking to practice this myself today, and I know that I fail and I struggle and I fall, and those worries and anxieties come back in. If that's you as well, don't give up and don't feel defeated. Keep putting this into practice. Obviously, and it's important that I say this, if you suffer from chronic anxiety, then it's good that you get help. Don't feel, again, that I'm offering simplistic solutions to a complex problem. But for many of us, I think the Bible here gives us an antidote that can really help us to move forward beyond our worries and our anxieties and our stress. So may God bless us as we put this into practice, as we seek to be the people of God in these challenging times, as we seek to engage in true prayer, and as we discover in practice, as well as in this passage, the antidote to worry and to stress and to anxiety. Just going to lead us in a spoken prayer now. Lord, I especially want to pray today for those who are struggling personally with these issues. Perhaps it's been a problem for many years. Perhaps it's a problem that has flared up in the pandemic. Perhaps it's a combination of those two things. Lord God, we pray for our friends. We pray for one another. And we praise you now that you are the great and mighty God, the prayer answering God, who accept our prayers not as we would wish them to be, but as they are. Think of the words of the hymn, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Lord, thank you that we can come to you just as we are. Thank you that we can offer our prayers to you, and thank you that you encourage us to leave things with you, to believe that you have got it. Lord, we know that you don't always transform the situations that we face. Sometimes you give us grace to endure, grace to journey through. But we do believe that you, the good and gracious God, are more than big enough to take care of our worries and our anxieties and our stress. And Lord, we pray now that we would also be those who follow Hannah's example in cherishing God and the gospel. We thank you for the wonderful Lord Jesus and for all he is to us. Help us to reflect deeply on these things. Help us to meditate on them and on your plan and purposes for our lives, so that our life is filled with good things, so that those worries, well, they try and crowd back in, but it's so much more difficult because our lives are full of good and God and gospel. So Lord, help us to put this into practice, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.